from the Maryland News Network, this is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
Welcome into High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark, joined as always by Wick Eisenberg. Wick, happy Thanksgiving to you, pal.
Happy Thanksgiving, Glenn. I hope you're having a good year.
We are in the nitty-gritty of the high school football playoffs as fall seasons have otherwise wrapped up around the state.
Yep.
We're going to touch on some of that during the course of the show, but let's start by recapping the week that was the regional finals in high school football. Let's begin with the four games that you identified as the games to watch from this past week, and we'll start at the 1A level. Lackey got together with Douglas in a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, Lackey pulled this one out 36-28, and that's a big one for Lackey, obviously, to keep their season going, and next week they get to try to take out the four-time state champ Fort Hill.
Yeah,
good luck
easy,
to
right?
him. Yeah, good luck to him. You get to travel out to Allegheny and take on those guys. It'll be very tough.
Let me skip the 2A level for now. Let me go to the 3A level, if you don't mind. And a matchup of teams from the western portion of the state as Linganore got together with Westminster.
Yeah, Linganore edged out Westminster 16-14, and that's going to be a disappointing result for Westminster. They lost twice this year, both of which came against the Lancers, and that was a game that they were really hoping they would be able to flip the result playing at home as opposed to being on the road like they were during the regular season. So going to be a long offseason for the Owls, but Linganore moves on, and they're still within one game of making the state final.
At the 4A level, tell me about Wise and Roosevelt.
Yeah, this was a really hotly contested one. Wise able to pull out the win 34-16. These are two teams that have had a history of not really liking each other that much. The game ended, unfortunately, a little early when there was an altercation between some of the players, some of the teams. So unfortunately, the game got called early, but Wise was able to pull it out, the two-time defending state champs, and they're going to have a matchup with Howard later this week.
Now one that... boy...
A tough one.
Let's come back to the 2A level, where a lot of controversy surrounding this particular game.
Yes, a lot of controversy.
This was a mob scene.
Yes.
This was an incredible atmosphere. This was...
Estimated 5,000 to 6,000 people somewhere in that range for a 2A football game. Pretty wild.
And really an incredible statement about high school football. As Walkersville and Damascus got together.
Yeah, so this
There was one touchdown scored.
Yeah, one touchdown scored, and we'll get into that touchdown in a minute. But low-scoring game, and you might think, oh, 7-3 with Damascus winning, that might be a little boring, not a lot of offense. There is still plenty to talk about with this game. The hype leading up to this game was unlike any I'd really seen. You had a couple teams with a couple win streaks coming into it. You had Damascus at 39. You had Walkersville at 25. And it's very rare, and we talked about this last week, to have teams defending state champions facing each other in the playoffs. I can't recall the last time it happened, but the reason this was possible was because Damascus got moved from the 3A level to the 2A level, and they got paired up in the same region as Walkersville, the defending champs at the 2A level. This game has been hyped up for a year. There's been a lot of bulletin board material. I mean, when you have stuff like Facebook and Twitter especially, you're going to have a lot of people going back and forth about it, but this game was just wild. Both grandstands were filled for the Walkersville and Damascus grandstands. They were both filled an hour before the game. There were tons of standing room folks along the fences, and then there was I saw a line somewhere online there was that parking was unavailable for over a mile from within a mile of the stadium, so you had to walk over a mile to get to this game. Just absurd. Unbelievable, and I think a lot of people probably expected a high-scoring game. These are two powerful running teams. That's what they base their offenses around. Very similar teams, but the first half, it was all defense. Seven punts, only six first downs. There were three turnovers, 0 points. And like I said, two dynamic offenses, two dynamic running offenses, possibly the two best in the state this year. And neither of them were able to get anything going. I mean, in Walkersville, ended with just 66 yards on 32 carries. That's all you really need to know. But then, obviously, they got ahead early in the fourth quarter with a field goal. But then Damascus began to drive, and then they were able to get the score 7-3 on a run by Ben Locos, a really good 14-yard run. But there was just one minor problem with this. They had an extra man on the field. It was 12-11 and video shows that this indeed happened. The referees even threw two flags on the play, ended up picking them both up. It's a tough one. Walkersville fans are not happy. The team is not happy, and I think pretty understandably.
Oh, yeah, understandably so. Look, as a few people have pointed out, there are bad calls throughout the course of every football game.
Yes.
This one was just a little bit more egregious in the timing of it. Ultimately, nothing changes. Ultimately, Damascus moves on. Walkersville, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but unfortunately, that's how their title defense ends.
Yeah, and for me, I think people saying that there's some sort of conspiracy, the game was at Damascus, it was their refs, I don't buy that at all. These are guys who are out there doing the best that they can.
Yep.
It is what it is. Looking for serious punishment from the MPSSA, I'm not sure that's going to happen. It is what it is. I think it's a tough way for it to end, especially such a high-profile game. At the end of the day, it's Damascus moving forward, and they'll host Glen Elg next week.
All right, when we come back in, we're going to talk about the soccer champions around the state. That's next. This is High School Sportsline, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues here on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sportsline, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here for segment number two of High School Sportsline, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick Eisenberg, we normally do a lot of storytelling on this show,
yes,
but this was a big weekend for championships.
Heavy on the results this week.
In the fall sports. So let's go through some of these things and give a little love to champions across the state of Maryland.
Sure.
How about in this segment we dive into soccer?
Okay, sounds good for me.
One school where they're really, really happy is Sparrows Point.
Yeah, Sparrows Point, Eastside Baltimore County School. They were able to win both state titles this year at the 1A level. Now, this happens. This isn't a total rarity. Last year it even happened. Walter Johnson was able to sweep the 4A title. So it's not rare. This does happen. It's still obviously amazing when it does. But for me, what really stands out here is the coaching that was really took place this year for Sparrows Point. Girls soccer has been a power at Sparrows Point for a long time. Everybody knows that the Pointers, this championship is their fifth straight. And so the guy who was at the helm for a lot of this was a guy named Joe Lambert. He was the head coach for the last three, for the previous three, and then he was an assistant on the first one. And so he's obviously just heavily connected with all of this. However, this year he decided to make a change, and he switched over from the girls team to the boys team, where he was the head coach for the boys this year. And it's a high profile decision. Why would you leave in the middle of all this stuff that's happening right now for the girls team? A lot of people sort of questioned the move. He had a record of 50-2 as the head coach of the girls. It's not like he was leaving, you know, a team that was about to be, you know, falling off anytime soon. So why did he make the move? Well, it was actually a family decision. His daughter Casey was on the girls team for 4 years. She actually scored the winning goal in Sparrows Point's first championship triumph. And so when that ended, when she graduated earlier this year, he decided that he wanted to move over to the boys because his son is coming through the ranks. His son is going to be, Zach is going to be on the team next year as a freshman, or at least will be in the program on the JV level. We'll see where he lands, but he wanted to have an opportunity to coach his son like he coached his daughter. And so
cool.
I thought that was a pretty cool, pretty cool story. And so for me, I wrote about them back in August, and I was talking with Russ Lingner, their athletic director. And I asked him, I was like, so when this got brought to you, like, what were you thinking about? And he was like, he wasn't sure initially. He was supportive of it. He thought, hey, great. You want to keep coaching. And obviously you've done a lot with the girls. You want to switch it. That's great. But he wanted to find somebody that would come in for the girls team that wouldn't break up the chemistry. They only graduated three girls from the previous championship year. So he wasn't looking for a coach who would disrupt the group's chemistry. They decided to land on bringing in Lori Sexton, who had been an assistant coach with the team for the past three seasons, also had been the head coach for the program back in the early 2000s. She agreed to fill the vacancy, and that sort of made this possible, where the girls' team were able to keep some sort of consistency in the boys' team, which has been a successful program, not nearly to the level of the girls up to this year, but a winning program. They'd last won a regional title in 2008 before this year, so not a bad program, but a chance for them to sort of build up and try to emulate the girls' success. And so I talked to Lingner about this, and remember, this is back in August, and I say, okay, so just obviously fortune teller, and you know, I'm not going to put it out there or whatever, but in the story, but what do you think are the odds that this really works out for you? And he said, it would not shock me if I lift, if I get to, you know, lift both of those championships come November. It would not shock me. He said, I mean, we're talking about Joe Lambert, this coach who moved from the girls team to the boys team. He said, you know, he is an amazing coach. He compared him to Buck Showalter from the Orioles and said, nothing really gets him down. To quote Lingner, he's a model coach, reminds me of Buck Showalter. Walter never gets Ben out of shape, never out of control, and doesn't make excuses when things don't go his way. Keeps things in proper perspective and is very level-headed, and the girls were able to feed off that. I'm sure the boys will too. Well, I think that ended up being correct.
Right?
Yeah. So this is a group, Sparrow's point. The boys, they went 5-8-1 during the year. They ended up winning 6 playoff games to finish 11-8-1. And this is the second straight year at the 1A level for the boys that a Baltimore County school that is a smaller school has ended up entering the playoffs with a losing record and won the state title. Pikesville did it last year. So it's really a testament when you're a smaller school in this area, in the Baltimore County area, facing Perry Hall, Delaney, Towson, Catonsville on a regular basis, and then you jump into the 1A playoffs, and the competition is not quite as tough. So I really think it's a win for Baltimore County. They were able to win 2-1 over Patterson Mill. Dylan Brown bagged both goals. And on the girls' side, it was the same as always. 3-0 win over Patterson Mill with Sexton at the helm. It's her first state title as a head coach. And they did it with relative ease. They outscored their opponents 29-2 during the playoff run.
That is dominant. Very cool. Congratulations to Sparrow's Point. All right, Wick, let's really quickly run over the other the soccer champions from the weekend. Start at the 2A level.
Yeah, these were the games that were played on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. River Hill was able to pull out the girls 3-0 over Hereford. Remember, that was a team we had talked about, Hereford, and I called it. That was going to be a matchup, River Hill-Hereford in the state championship. It was very one-sided, though. Went River Hill's way 3-0. Eastern Tech was able to break up the River Hill sweep by beating the Hawks 2-0 on the boys' side, and that's a first state championship for Eastern Tech. That's a program with a lot of history. It's cool that they were able to win one.
Awesome. What about the 3A level?
3A level, Linganore. These were two games that actually went to PKs. On the girls' side, Linganore was able to beat Huntingtown after a scoreless game. Big result for Howie Putterman, who's been out there for years. Really good coach. They've been close a lot of times. Big result for the Lancers. See Milton Wright beat Great Mills after they tied 2-2 in a wild game and then went to PKs. See Milton Wright came out ahead. That is their first state championship, and Great Mills did a great job representing St. Mary's County. Unfortunately, that county is still waiting for their first ever state title.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Our final group of soccer champions, tell me the 4A.
Yeah, the 4A, it went 2-1 on the girls' side for Broadneck. That was the last time that Broadneck had won a state title was 2015. So it's been, it hadn't been too long of a wait for the Bruins, but they were able to pull out a big win here and beat Urbana. And then on the boys' side, BCC was able to win 1-0 over Severna Park on a goal that came with 90 seconds left in the game.
That is awesome. Congratulations to all of this year's state soccer champions. This football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more at countysportszone.com. So we've talked about the soccer champions in the state. How about when we come back in, we talk about this year's volleyball.
That works for me.
State champions, also determined this past weekend. We'll do that next as we roll along. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues right here on the Maryland News Network.
Hi, you laugh?
Yes, Medicare is such a maze.
United Healthcare can help.
Is that why you're driving this bulldozer?
Hop in. Choosing a plan doesn't have to be complicated. United Healthcare has the people, tools, and plans to get you through it, including the only Medicare plans with the AARP name.
That was easy.
Need to find a Medicare plan? Get help now at UHCMedicare.com. AARP Medicare plans from United Healthcare. United Healthcare pays royalty fees to AARP. AARP is not an insurer.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Black Friday's over, but not at Ace, where you can get big savings all weekend. Get up to 50% off select gifts throughout the store. Plus, save 50% on 300-count Celebrations LED Christmas lights, now just $9.99 after instant savings. And for even more savings, print out our online coupon to save $10 on your purchase of $50 or more. This weekend only at your neighborhood Ace.
Coupon valid on November 25th and 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. Lights offer valid for Ace Rewards members at participating stores.
A Netflix limited series.
Where are all the men at?
Dead.
In a town full of ladies, it's ripe fruit for the wicked.
There's some bloody business up north with Frank Griffin.
When he finds out who was living here,
God help you folks.
Mister, we're a lot stronger than you think we are.
Starring Jack O'Connell, Michelle Dockery, and Jeff Daniels.
This here's godless country.
Godless. Welcome to No Man's Land, only on Netflix.
On October 12, Emma Bellows, an 8th grade mathematics teacher, took a wrong turn on her trip through Gettysburg's Lincoln Square. She had expected the historic battlefields, but now she stood in the middle of a contemporary food scene that rivaled anything she'd ever dreamt of. It was, she was heard to say, a culinary fantasy land, but with cider houses and wineries. For Emma, this one turn would change everything.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. Okay, Wick, so we did the state soccer championships.
Sure.
There were other state championships that were handed out this weekend. How about we get into the state volleyball champions and recognize some gals that are that have won titles. Let's just go, where do you want to start? What level do you want to start?
Let's go with the 4A.
All right, let's start there.
We'll start at the 4A, and that was a really good game. Northwest versus Arundel. It finished with Northwest winning 3-1. 24-26, so they dropped the first set, then they won the next ones, 25-19, 25-16, 25-11. And this clinched a three-peat for Northwest, and an undefeated season as well at 19-0. They were certainly the favorites coming into this game. Montgomery County is known for having its excellent volleyball, and Northwest has sort of been the class of that for the last few years, if you can't tell. And so they were definitely favorites, but they fell behind in that first set. Mackenzie Meehan, China Gubbings, and Alicia Eldridge from Arundel both had fantastic first sets, and I think everybody in Ritchie Coliseum was sort of looking around being like, huh, okay, we might have an upset brewing here, but Northwest was able to take over, and they were able to jump out to a early lead in the second set behind Rachel Bennett, who had did an excellent job serving. They jumped out to a 5-0 lead in that set. And so that really set the tone for the rest of the way for Northwest. The Janisia Moore had 32 kills. Janice Jeffries had 32 assists, and this was just Jeffries being able to contribute was a massive deal for Northwest. They almost lost in the regional final here. Almost didn't get to Ritchie Coliseum, and it was because, I mean, Jeffries was playing injured. She was battling an injury throughout the entire postseason, and so her being available and being healthy was absolutely massive for Northwest in this game, and she definitely made her mark. I also have to give a shout out here to Arundel. Ashley Yaskavage has done an excellent job with that program. The Wildcats have become consistent contributors here at the state championship level or the semifinal round. I have no doubt that they're going to be making it back. They've definitely been one of Baltimore County's best this year. A great season for Arundel. It was their only loss as well. They finished 18-1.
Wow.
So Battle of Unbeatens goes Northwest, and they are 3-time 4A champs now.
Let's move to the 3A level.
Yeah, Northern of Calvert County was able to top Westminster in straight sets in this one, 25-18, 26-24, and then 26-24 again. So it was very close despite the 3-0 mark there. Westminster had some chances here to be able to break through and win one of those sets. They just couldn't seem to do it. And the reason was because of an excellent defensive performance from the Patriots. It was led by their libero, Anika Bateman, who finished with 11 digs, which is just an absurd amount for a state championship game. She was excellent in this contest. Elizabeth Elbrecht also had 3 blocks to help lead the defense as well. And Westminster, this is just big. Westminster was known for having a really high octane attack this year. They were really able to outscore people all throughout the season, but they were able to be slowed down by Northern. On the offensive side of the game for Northern, Amanda Chu had 23 kills. And also, I mean, this was a big game. It was the wildest game from a fan perspective. It was easily the loudest of the 4 finals that took place here. 2 excellent student sections that were going after each other and yelling a bunch. It honestly kind of felt like, you know, a state championship for a football
game. That's cool.
It was cool that both schools turned out big numbers for these girls, and they definitely played up to it. I mean, I even, talking to Bobby Gibbons, the head coach at Northern, he said he even called timeouts in this game just so he could get his instructions to his players. They couldn't hear him on the court when he was trying to yell because of how loud it was in the gym. So he would more call timeouts just to sort of be like, hey, just so you know, this is what I want to do. I know you can't really hear me because everybody's screaming so much.
That's crazy.
So figured I would bring you in here for that. But Northern, this is their last championship win came in 2015. So this isn't a total rarity for the Patriots, but a fantastic season for them, capped off with a state title. Congratulations for Northern.
We're going over volleyball champions from the weekend here on High School Sports Line. Wick, why don't we talk about the 2A level?
Yeah, 2A went to Oakdale. They were able to beat La Plata after dropping the first set 20-25. They were able to bounce back, win 25-18, 25-13, 20 25-23. Now, this is to claim the Bears' first title since 2014. And it was a little bit of an upset, I think. A lot of people were really putting a lot of stock into La Plata, having a really strong front row of Lauren Caudill, J.C. Chamberlain, and Devin Rubel. I mean, these were three players that have controlled the net throughout the playoffs and throughout the season for La Plata. And I think a lot of people looked at their height and how dominant they've been able to be and thought Oakdale's going to have a long day here. But they were able to battle through, and they were able to get strong games from Amani Walker. She was everywhere for this team. 10 digs, 8 kills, 3 blocks, all around sensational in every aspect of the game to really lead this team. Caroline Perobi helped swing the momentum in the second set. After, like I said, they had dropped the first set, she served 5 excellent points in a row, and that really helped them break away Oakdale here to make it a 10-2 lead, and she ended up finishing with 15 digs. Right. So another great performance from her, and Oakdale's one that, for me, could easily be back next year. They only graduate 4 players from that group, and that's certainly not a massive chunk of the team, and it's a program that under Jim Dorsch has definitely become a consistent winner, so it wouldn't shock me if the Bears are able to get back there next year, though they're going to be competing in a very tough 2A West region. But congratulations on their 2017 state title triumph.
Very cool. And then finally, the 1A level?
Yeah, 1A, it was the same as it has been for almost this past decade. Smithsburg won in straight sets over Perryville 25-11, 25-18, 25-22. This is an amazing program here, the Smithsburg volleyball program. Smithsburg from Washington County. They have won every state title, 1A state title since 2009, except for the 2013 state title. So that's 8 of the last 9.
Pretty dominant.
8 of the last 9, and now 4 straight on the trot right now. Just immense stuff. And kind of like what we were talking about a little bit earlier with Sparrows Point boys soccer, this is a team that has really been shaped and molded by their environment. Washington County is an absolute powerhouse. It's a rarity that Smithsburg is not joined by at least one of their county, their county rivals in winning a state title. It happened last year with Williamsport winning the 2A title, but Smithsburg was the only Washington County team to win this year. But between Williamsport, North Hagerstown, Boonesboro, Clear Spring, there's plenty of tests throughout the year. And then you add into the fact that Smithsburg, along with the other Washington County schools, joined the Central Maryland Athletic Conference. And now all of a sudden, they're going to be facing teams from Frederick, like Oakdale, who they beat earlier in the year, who we just talked about, who won the 2A title. They also had to face Linganore as well, another powerhouse. They face all these bigger, tough schools from Frederick County as well as their fellow Washington County teams, and all of a sudden they're going to be really, really tough to beat once you get to the 1A level. They also have to compete with Fort Hill, who's been a very tough team out there in the 1A West. They're the only group that's won a state title during this run. In 2013, they were able to win a state title for Fort Hill. So, I mean, just absolutely battle-tested, I rarely bet against Washington County teams when it comes to volleyball, and I'm a little surprised, honestly, that they didn't have more state titles this year, but I'm definitely going to look out for Smithsburg next year. Why wouldn't you? It's basically out there. It's kind of
right?
Like
just assume pencil them in, right?
It's honestly kind of like high school football in Texas. You know, when you hear about it out there, for them with volleyball, it's massive. Their regional final against Fort Hill was a massive occasion. They played it on a Saturday night, the only regional final that was taking place. Then the gym was packed. It's cool. I always like it when an area like that really sort of adopts a sport that might not always get a lot of press and love, but it's big out there in Washington County, and Smithsburg once again has sort of been the class of Washington County and the 1A title.
Very cool. Hey, real quick, speaking of championships, there was one other championship that was determined this weekend in football.
Yeah.
That was the MIAA A Conference title, and not surprisingly, St. Francis was able to take care of business against Gilman.
Yeah, the Poggi Bowl, you could honestly call it. I mean, Biff Poggi used to coach at Gilman, and a lot of his coaches went over to St. Francis, and they were facing their old team. Great year for Gilman, though, who sort of came from out of nowhere, I think, in a lot of people's eyes to make this game, but just too much firepower at St. Francis.
No question. 44-7, the final score in that one. Our final trip to the Bayside Conference, as unfortunately they are done for football season, is next. We'll chat with Mike Bradley here on High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
They say, want a new wireless plan? Gotta buy a new phone. At Simple Mobile, we say, just bring your own phone. Then pop in a Simple Mobile SIM card and boom, you've got 30-day unlimited plans starting at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network, all with no contract. You can keep it complicated or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. It is now time to make our weekly trip down to the Bayside Conference, where unfortunately the final team is no longer standing after Kent Island fell to Hartford Tech this weekend. Joining us now, he is the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. He is our buddy Mike Bradley. Mike, it's good to talk to you, man. What heartbreak for Kent Island this week, and what ended up being a really, really good game.
Guys, you're not kidding. And you look back the last 2 weeks here, the big upset of North Carolina, that in many people's eyes was a huge disappointment. And then in this one, certainly a game that Kent Island should have had. And look, give all their credit to Hartford Tech. They played a heck of a game defensively to keep the team in the game, despite all the turnovers that they had, three in the first half, two of which led to Kent Island touchdowns. They were able to stay in the game and gave themselves a chance in the second half to score 13 unanswered and win that game, you know, 22-21. But, you know, it was certainly a winnable game for Kent Island, not to say that it wasn't difficult, because Hartford Tech's defense, guys, they played very, very well. They put eight in the box. They were very good at stopping the run, and they forced Kent Island to the air. But even then, it wasn't easy, as Hartford Tech's got a couple of pretty good corners back there. And, you know, Ladae Cooper being one of them, and Jeremiah Minter, who did have some mistakes in the game, but he was the other guy. And he's got some size to him, and he caught a couple of touchdown passes in the second half that made the difference. But yeah, for the Bucks, that's just it's a tough one. And the decision late in the first half to go for a field goal instead of, to go for it on fourth and one and a half as compared to kicking the field goal, that ended up being, at least on the scoreboard, the difference in the game there. I know that talking with their head coach after the game, he said, well, it was only a yard or so, which is true. But knowing how difficult it was for them to run the football, I think you could definitely make a strong argument, kick the field goal, it's within range, take the points there off the turnover instead of coming away with nothing.
I think, Mike, one of the things that jumps out at me is it would have been easy for Kent Island to be sort of suffering an emotional letdown after a huge win the week before, and that wasn't the case, obviously, in this game, as they jumped out and they played really good football. They ran into sort of a buzzsaw, right? Like this Hartford Tech program, their first ever trip to the playoffs. This
magical
is,
year.
Yeah, right? It's just everything sort of come together for that program, and they weren't going to give up after a big first half. But I think it speaks to Kent Island that after this massive, massive rivalry win the week before, they didn't just sort of pack in and say, well, we won our championship, it's over now, that they still showed up and had every opportunity to win that game.
Yeah, no, you guys are absolutely right. You could have certainly made the argument that after beating North Carolina, that would have taken a lot out of the team emotionally and physically, and that right, that they might have been happy to kind of rest on the laurels. But you know, Kent Island, with the program that they've established over the years, they strive for bigger and better things. And if it had been a lesser program, that might have been the case, but certainly that's not the case with them. And look, it does. Hartford Tech is having a really special year. It's a special team, and it shows that when you turn the ball over four times and you're still able to win the game, and when you get down for the first time all year and you give up the amount of points that you did, I think they had given up, just something crazy. in terms of 30 some points, I think, all year or something like that. And then to just give up, you know, 21 points in the first half, for them to still be in the game speaks volumes for them. And it was really good football game. And the second half was, quite a game towards the end. It, you know, and each team had a lucky tip, if you will, on a pass play to the receiver where the corner got a hand on the ball, but the receiver ended up catching it, running for a touchdown. Each team had that. Kent Island in the first half, and then Hartford Tech on the touchdown in the second half, which brought them within a score. And that was the turning point in the game. It was actually Jordan Bright that caught both those second half touchdown connections from Ryan Hunt. And hey, congrats to the Cobras there. And it's a special feeling after the game for those guys, those players and coaches on the field to celebrate with the students and administrators. And they're moving on to Glen Park here this week.
Yeah, Mike, this is Wick here. So, I mean, the loss to Hartford Tech for Kent Island means that the Bayside football season is officially over for 2017. What were a couple of your either big headlines or notes that you're taking away going into the offseason saying, this is what I'll think about when I think of the 2017 football season?
Well, I don't think there's any question. You look at North Carolina and a team there that had aspirations to go to the state finals, and the fact that they were beaten in the very first round, that will always stick out to me. Now, as we find out, though, after the game, David Bailey, their star running back, ended up breaking his foot, even though he did play in the second half. Their backup running back, he broke his left arm in the game. So they would not have been near 100% going into the Hartford Tech game, and the chances of them going to the state finals and certainly winning it would have been diminished to a large degree. I'm not going to say it would have completely prevented them, but North Carolina and that loss to Kent Island will stick out. Certainly, I think that J.M. Bennett with their head coach Hugh Gibson losing his wife in the middle to end of the season, and them still having a good year, winning the Bayside South, winning the Salisbury Championship, and going back to the playoffs, that will certainly stick out for me as well. I think the Easton injury to Mason Ledford, and actually losing three key players in the second game of the season to Queen Anne's, that'll stick out because that really turned their season from playoff aspirations to starting a freshman quarterback. That's huge. And then as we find out, this is the last year of their head coach, Matt Griffith, who did a really good job of bringing Easton football back and making it relevant again. So I think those are, and then Snow Hill breaking the 29-game losing streak with their win over Washington. I think those are the three or four bullet points I'll probably take away from this year, no doubt.
No doubt. He is Mike Bradley, the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net. He joins us here on High School Sports Line on the Maryland News Network. Well, Mike, it's entirely too early to do this, obviously, but that's what we do. We go ahead and idiotically do it anyway. Why don't we start thinking ahead to the 2018 Bayside Conference football season and give me an idea of who the players are going to be that we're going to be caring about, who the teams are that return the most that are going to be in the mix. Just give me a thumbnail when we have this conversation Thanksgiving week of, or hopefully later, obviously, for the Bayside Conference next year.
Yeah. Right.
What are we going to be talking about as the storylines next season?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you guys asked that because I've really made an effort here to do my homework now for next year so that I'm not going in and kind of having to look back and do my homework all over again and really dig deep, that I have a good idea going in instead of starting all over again in August, if you will, with coming into the season. Queen Anne should be a team that will be right at the top. As you guys know, they graduated a ton of guys from last year's team. A lot of younger guys getting experience this year, including their freshman quarterback. They do lose some key guys, but that is a team that will have a lot of experience, having gone 7-3. And Queen Anne should be right at the top. So they bring back a fair amount of guys, and again, they bring back a quarterback who will just be a sophomore next year, who got a ton of experience this year. Kent Island loses a fair amount of guys. Now, they're a program, just like Queen Anne's, that usually reloads. But they had a passing game this year with that transfer quarterback, Trent Jackson. I don't think they'll have that dynamic next year. So they'll take a step back, and they lose a lot of guys. They should still have a quality team, but, you know, is it a playoff team? Is it, is it a 500 team? I think we'll have to find out. Just trying to take a look at some of the other teams. J.M. Bennett, who made the playoffs, guys, they lose a lot of guys next year. So it'll be a rebuilding year for them. I think Easton, though, should have a good team. They returned a ton of starters who got a lot of experience. Also, they ended up having to play a freshman quarterback. So they ought to be close to the top. Colonel Richardson, they lose a lot on offense, which hurts. They bring back a lot of defensive guys. But I think the team that you ought to look at that went 4-6 this year, I think Wicomico has a chance out of Salisbury to be a really good team for next season. And then Parkside, you know, they lost they lost a lot of key players from a team that had playoff aspirations that even though despite four straight winning seasons, they just have not been there. They haven't been able to get in because that 2A East is so tough and they haven't beaten any North teams. So those are some of the things I think next year that stick out. I think Queen Anne's out of the North is a team to look at, and Wicomico in the South. And it'll be interesting to see, too, how Stephen Decatur does. Their numbers were up this year, and they need a quarterback, though. That's their big issue. So, but it'll be interesting to see if they can take another step in bringing that program back to where it usually is.
This is normally where we wrap and ask you about Overtime Live, but instead, why don't you plug like where people can follow you on Twitter, Mike Bradley, because it's going to be a little while, I imagine.
Well, and I'm behind the times because I don't have a Twitter account, but you can follow me on Facebook. You can look me up on Facebook and Mike Bradley. But really the best thing to do, and I'll have to work on that for 2018, but the best thing to do is I will continue to have information posted there at sfmsports.net. Cool. When you click on high schools, go to Overtime Live. Click on that. And then, yeah, you can certainly look me up on Facebook and Mike Bradley there. And I've got pretty much all my posts are sports related. And so you can check that out. And I'll have to do the Twitter thing for 2018.
We'll make it a resolution, no doubt.
Hey, I've got like six Facebook pages, guys. I'm on. So I'm busy enough with that. But
good on you for
a useful tool, no doubt.
Good on you for avoiding it. I wish I could say the same thing. Unfortunately,
yeah, I'm afraid I get in trouble too much on Twitter. You know, I already have to bite my tongue a lot of times on Facebook.
Hey, Mike, we've appreciated all throughout the course of the season. You've done a wonderful job of covering everything going on in the Bayside Conference. Look forward to talking to you again real soon. And thank you for making the time for us all throughout the course of the year.
Oh, absolutely, guys. It's been a pleasure. I really love this time of year, and I love doing this. And I appreciate the medium and opportunity with you guys and with Steve and all that. It's great to be able to do. And I really think that, SFM and you guys with Pressbox, et cetera, we've certainly taken, I think, the local sports scene and taken it to the next level that it hasn't been before. And it's exciting. I'm happy to be able to do it for these kids because I remember playing in high school and it was always, a lot of fun. But, boy, the coverage today is 10 times more than what it was when
I
played.
So. Cool. Thanks, Mike. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back in. We'll preview what's coming up this weekend next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues on the Maryland News Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Black Friday's over, but not at Ace, where you can get big savings all weekend. Get up to 50% off select gifts throughout the store. Plus, save 50% on 300-count Celebrations LED Christmas lights, now just $9.99 after instant savings. And for even more savings, print out our online coupon to save $10 on your purchase of $50 or more. This weekend only at your neighborhood Ace.
Coupon valid on November 25th and 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. Lights offer valid for Ace Rewards members at participating stores.
Honey, there's a change of plans. The cousins are coming for the holidays.
All of them?
Yeah.
When your priority is ordering items for 12 cousins you weren't expecting, you ship them with the United States Postal Service, so you get them on time.
Hey, cuz, how did you ever get 12 airbeds in this tiny apartment?
I had a little help.
The United States Postal Service. Priority, you. Ship now at USPS.com. And now with the informed delivery feature, you get a digital preview of your mail before it arrives.
You're up before O Dark 30. You don't ask for medals or even a pat on the back. But if all your hard work is indeed its own reward, then consider the new Ram Limited Tungsten Edition as a bonus. Natura Plus leather seating, premium projector headlamps, suede headliner, packaged in the highly capable, hardworking truck you'd expect from Ram. Keep doing what you do, but who says you can't do it in a nicer truck? The new Ram Limited Tungsten, the most luxurious Ram truck ever. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Celebrate the holiday season in Somerset County with unique events for the entire family. Check out Christmas in Crisfield starting November 25th with a crab pot Christmas tree, the annual parade, and tea with Mrs. Claus. Princess Anne will come alive on December 2nd with their Christmas parade, holiday home tour, and a candlelight reception. Shop local for special holiday incentives and a wide selection of gift items. Check out visitsomerset.com for more information. Somerset County, a great place to celebrate.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Live, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
All right, Wick, so we always wrap up the week by previewing the games ahead. We're getting to the point where there's not many games left
yes.
for us to choose games to watch.
There are 8 games this week.
So you've identified four of them.
So half of them made the
cut. But we'll tell you about the other ones as well is what
yeah.
we'll do here.
I mean, it should be noted at this point, every single game is going to be exciting.
Obviously.
You should, if you're a football fan, look up the schedule, see if there's one in your area. You should go to it. It's going to be fantastic this weekend.
All right, state semifinal weekend in football. Let's start at the 4A level as Quince Orchard is taking on North Point.
Yeah, this one for me stands out because I think it really is a toss-up. Quince Orchard looks to qualify for its second straight state final appearance by traveling to Charles County to take on North Point, which is their first ever appearance in the state semifinal round. So sort of a varying degree here of experience for these two programs. Starting with Quince Orchard, they got here by shutting out Einstein 62-0 in the first round and then beating Northwest 31-20, a very tough Northwest team. That's a very good win for Quince Orchard. And we've talked about them a couple times on this show before. They have a fantastic quarterback, Doc Bonner, who's going to be going to Dartmouth next year. He was excellent against Northwest. He only threw for 138 yards, but he also chipped in 85 rushing yards as well. Threw for a touchdown to Marquez Cooper and also picked up 2 rushing scores. He's their guy. He's their key playmaker, the one that they go to, and he is absolutely excellent, and he's proven that he's been able to win in big games throughout his high school career. His touchdown pass was to Marquez Cooper, who was a big playmaker for Quince Orchard in that game against Northwest. He also had 2 rushing scores. He ran for 53 yards as well. I mean, for me, it's just making 3 catches as well. He's been his go-to guy. Can the Cougars make their second straight state title? I mean, this is going to be a really tough matchup here with North Point. They last won a state championship in 2007, though this is a team that is not going to be fazed by the big occasion. 12th straight playoff appearance for Quince Orchard. So this
wow.
is a team that's definitely used to getting there. And then you look at North Point. It's kind of the opposite a little bit here. Their first ever appearance in the state semifinal round. In fact, the Eagles had only ever won 1 playoff game before this postseason, despite qualifying for the last 7 seasons. In 2017, North Point has beaten Arundel 20-19 in a very close game, and then got past previously unbeaten Broadneck, a team we've talked about a lot, who I know had state championship aspirations on their mind. But they were able to get past Broadneck 38-22 using a strong second half surge in which the group scored 28 straight points to pull away from Broadneck, and that was on the road as well, by the way. The Eagles' defense was able to force multiple turnovers during that run, and then quarterback Jermichael Jones, who has thrown and rushed for over 1,000 yards this season. I mean, this is a group, a player we have talked about who is quite dynamic. He ran for 2 scores during the third quarter to really help North Point on their way to pulling away here. Jaden Mack also had a massive play and returned an interception 40 yards for a touchdown in the fourth quarter, while Malik Lawrence finished with 75 yards receiving, and he also caught a touchdown in the fourth quarter. It really is a toss-up. Will Quince Orchard experience? Will that be the difference here? North Point does have home field advantage. It really is a toss-up. I'm not sure who's going to be able to pull this one out.
That game is at 7 o'clock on Friday at North Point.
Yes.
What's the other 4A game?
The other 4A game is Howard at Wise, and these are 2 teams that know each other very well. They've played each other, I believe, in the last 3 state, in the last 3 playoff rounds, or maybe it's only the last 2, but these are 2 teams very familiar with each other. Wise has topped Howard, however, in the playoffs the last couple go-arounds.
At the 3A level, the 4-seed Longreach travels to the 1-seed Milford Mill.
Yeah, I'm excited about this match. I always love it when you're dealing with 2 schools who both are not regularly in state championships for football. I think it makes for a better atmosphere for a semifinal, and this is certainly the case. Milford Mill hasn't been in the state championship since the program's lone state title triumph in 1987, so it's been a while for the Millers. They've only made 1 other state title appearance, which was back in 1983, but this year Milford Mill has gotten to this point by getting past C. Milton Wright and Edgewood by a combined score of 79-28, so they've been able to have their way pretty much up to this point. And running back Desmond Schell was huge against Edgewood. He opened the scoring scoring in the game with a 56-yard punt return. So he was able to make it done in special teams, and then he also sealed the win with a 68-yard touchdown run. He had multiple long returns, which helped set up Troy Scott for a three-rushing touchdown effort. So Scott was able to put the ball into the end zone a lot, but that wouldn't have been without the help from Shell. And the Miller's defense was also exceptional. They shut out Edgewood in the second half of that contest, and Edgewood had upset a very talented Franklin squad, so that's a very good win there for Milford Mill. Now, Long Reach is sort of in uncharted waters here, kind of like North Point. They've never been to the state semifinals before, and they've gotten here by beating Chesapeake from Anne Arundel County 27-24, so a close one right away in the first round. But then they absolutely just dominated Athelton 37-0 in the regional final there to win the 3A East Championship. Against Athelton, I mean, they got great performances all around, but quarterback Tyler Moore was, I think, really a standout. He threw for three touchdowns, but a lot of the heavy lifting went to Kadarian Booker, their running back, rushed for 177 yards and a score. But I mean, obviously, the defense was really the difference maker. Long Reach forced five punts, four turnovers on downs, and an interception in this game. I mean, Athelton just could not get anything going. So these are two programs that really aren't used to being in this spot. You could honestly say that neither of the players, I don't feel like there's an edge there experience-wise. So I'm very curious to see who makes it out of this game and will get a rare chance at a state title.
At game 1 o'clock Saturday at Milford Mill, what's the other 3A matchup?
Oxon Hill at Lincoln. So that's a good PG County, Frederick County matchup, two of the more hotbeds, if you will, for football in this state. And I think that's going to be a really hotly contested one, too.
We are going over state semifinal matchups here on High School Sports Line. At the 2A level, WIC, you have Gwynn Park traveling. They're the 3 seed traveling to face the Cinderella story that is Harford Tech.
Yeah, and as you sort of referenced there, this is a 3A matchup, that's very similar to the 3A one we just highlighted, two teams that combined have made two state championship appearances. So Gwynn Park accounts for both of those, by the way. The Yellow Jackets last made the state final in 2005, which is also their lone state championship. And they've gotten here on the strength of their extremely stingy defense. The group beat Edmondson Westside 8-2 in the first round, which honestly sounds like a lopsided baseball score to me, but they were able to pull out an 8-2-1 in that really cold, windy day a couple weeks ago. And then they were able to pull out a 43-0 win over Hereford, which is never easy to do. Hereford has a great tradition, and Gwynn Park honestly just kind of stuffed them there to win the 2A North crown. And this is a defense that has been exceptional throughout the year. They've allowed 8.36 points per game this season, and the win over Hereford was the unit's fourth shutout of the season. And remember, this is a team going up against a lot of PG schools that are bigger than them on a routine basis, and they were able to finish 8-1 with this defense. I think that's going to be a tough matchup there for Harford Tech, but I mean, we talked about Harford Tech. This has sort of a team that has a little bit of a feel of a team of destiny here. It's their first ever playoff appearance, and they're 12-0 right now. So keep the good times rolling if you're the Cobras. They beat Elkton 35-0 in the first round. Elkton was a state finalist last year, so obviously a great win. And then they engineered a 12-point comeback to beat Kent Island. We talked about this a little bit with Mike Bradley earlier today, but the late surge began with just under 7 minutes left in the game when Ryan Hunt connected with Lade Hunt on a tipped ball for a touchdown. And then a few minutes later, Hunt was able to find Jordan Bright to give Harford Tech the lead for good. Running backs Kyle Saccone and Jalen Dangerfield also had bright games for Harford Tech. So this is a group in Harford Tech that is used to scoring and scoring in bunches, and they're going to go up against a very stingy defense. So it's sort of the classic immovable object versus the unstoppable force. Let's see who wins.
And that is a 7 o'clock game Saturday night at Harford Tech. What's the other 2A matchup?
It's Glen Elg going to Damascus, and you got to think that Damascus is the heavy favorite here. Though Glen Elg, I have a lot of respect for. They were able to win both of their games on the road to get here. So this is a team that has had success on the road. Going into Damascus is always very, very difficult. We'll see if they're able to pull it out, but Damascus is going to be looking for another state championship here.
And at the 1A level, Haverty Grace is the 3 seed. They travel to Dunbar. Tell me a little bit about that one.
Yeah, and this is a matchup between two programs with a plethora of history. Both of them have won multiple state titles. Both of them have made multiple appearances in the game, the state championship. So for me, these are two teams and two programs that are used to being here. Haverty Grace is really used to being here. This group of players, they've made the last two state championships at the 1A level. So this is definitely a group that is not going to be afraid of this moment. They topped Colonel Richardson this year, 56-6 in the first round, before claiming the 1A East title by topping Bohemia Manor, 48-14. A large chunk of this year's group played last season for the Warriors, and they're headlined by linebacker Sean Greeley and defensive tackle Reggie Marks. This is a group that Brian Eberhardt has told me, you know, the head coach says, you know, we put up a lot of numbers on offense. It's our defense that he feels is really special, though. Jordan Day, the wide receiver, has had an excellent career. He's looking to keep that going. And center Jared Graybeal has been the linchpin on the offensive line that has just been really successful and key to their success over these past couple seasons. And then they also, I think, have a real weapon here that could be key. Kicker Clay Harris is one of the best in the state. He hit 6 extra points this past week against Bohemia Manor. He also hit 2 long field goals. If they get within range, they have a real kicker here who can put up 3 points for you. That's not always common at the high school level, so I really feel like that's something that could put them in a different class here. And then they're facing off with Dunbar, which is in search of its 10th state title, with the last coming in 2012. Dunbar is just Baltimore City's finest. They have been for a long time, and this is actually their 19th appearance in the state semifinal round. And they've also won 54 career wins in the postseason, which is the most in Maryland. So this is just sort of the program traditionally in Maryland. Yeah. You can make that argument. They're yet to be tested in the postseason so far. They beat Chesapeake from Baltimore County and Reginald F. Lewis. They won both of those games 48-0. So you got to imagine that this will be a much closer game for Dunbar. We'll see if they're going to be able to handle Havre de Grace and that tough defense that they have. But they got great performances from a lot of places against Lewis. Alfonso Graham stood out. 2 rushing touchdowns. He had 3 interceptions, 2 of which he returned for scores. Quarterback Jared Lewis was also sensational. Passed for a touchdown and rushed for one as well.
Really quickly, the other 1A semifinal.
Lafayette, Fort Hill. Can Fort Hill make another state title appearance?
No doubt, and they are dominant. Wick, always appreciate it, pal. Great work as always. Producer Steve Clendenin, happy Thanksgiving to you as well, sir. For those guys, I am Glenn Clark. This has been High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Celebrate the holiday season in Somerset County with unique events for the entire family. Check out Christmas in Crisfield starting November 25th with a crab pot Christmas tree, the annual parade, and tea with Mrs. Claus. Princess Anne will come alive on December 2nd with their Christmas parade, holiday home tour, and a candlelight reception. Shop local for special holiday incentives and a wide selection of gift items. Check out visitsomerset.com for more information. Somerset County, a great place to celebrate.